Okay, let's talk about what we've covered. So far. We've talked about clarifying my theology of ministry, and many of you said that's something we're going to go back and discuss and talk about at our church. Then we've talked about creating first serve opportunities, and a lot of that was ideas, just giving you ideas that you can put into your calendar and put into your system. And then now we want to cultivate a ministry ladder, and this is going to deal with a little bit more of the dangers of ministry and talk about that. So let's talk about this ministry ladder. And I drew a ladder over here very crudely. I'm not going to win any awards for my art. But in your notes, it says this. Once someone begins to volunteer, help them climb the ministry ladder and become a regular, growing, Christ-like volunteer. So in your notes, I put three ladders. I spent about another 6 hours trying to design those things. I've got to get a graphic artist to help me with this stuff. But let me see if I can teach this ladder idea using two ladders from the journey, and then hopefully you can extract the principles from this. The ministry ladder is both an accountability tool as well as a discipleship tool as well as a measurement tool. And it's also a warning tool. It can also be a warning. That's probably the wrong word, but maybe you'll see what I'm talking about. So I have this ladder over here. And what the first section of this teaching was about is about getting people to serve for the first time. So I get somebody on the ladder. I was going to bring a ladder out here, but we had to take up all the space I had with the chairs. So I didn't want to bring this. But I get somebody to serve. Let's just pick an area. Let's take groups, for example. So I get someone to serve in groups for the first time. Now, actually, if they're serving in groups, there was actually another rung in groups that was below their serving, which was just simply called being a member of a group. So the group's ladder actually starts below the ministry ladder because you just are a member of a group. You just come, you participate in the discussion, you know, you're just a member. You don't have an identified serving position. But let's say this person decides that they're going to now be an assistant leader in a group. They're going to assist. They're going to be an assistant leader. That could mean that they're going to host the group. It could mean they're just going to send out the prayer request in the group. They're the, you know, coordinator is what we call it in the Activate parlance, but they've made it onto the ministry ladder, and this is the group's ladder. Now, at the top of the group's ladder currently is a staffing position that we call coaches, and all the coaches on the ladder are paid, so they're paid staff. But just below that, we have a big volunteer area called team leaders, and then below the team leaders, we have the group leaders, and then this person actually would be right here on that rung as an assistant leader. So that's kind of the ladder of a group. Now you could throw in some other stuff. I'm just trying to be really simple here with it. So they become a member. They get some kind of identifiable position like assistant or host. Like if I was going to do it, I would actually do it this way. Let me just do it right here. So we're going to put them as a host. They host a group here. And then they're going to become the assistant leader, or what we call in the Activate parlance, a coordinator. And so they're going to be a coordinator of the group. And then they become a group leader, team leader, then eventually a coach. That's the ladder. That's the ladder we want them to climb. Now, we're going to do another one of these with Worship Arts, okay? Just to do another one. And you can, I pick these two because chances are you don't structure yours the way we do. And so we don't have to get into term battle about what do we call it. So this person here, they've become a host of the group. So they've moved from member to host. Now, what are the qualifications we're going to require of host of a group? Here's the thing, you get to decide. So in our structure, you can be a lost person and host a group, okay? Just take down like the dirty pitchers or whatever, you know, okay? You know, hide the stuff, hide the beer, okay? You know, but you can be a lost person and be a host. You don't even have to be a member to be a host. All you have to do is open your house 14 times over the course of a semester, make sure it's relatively clean, relatively safe. You know, you can host a group. You have to be a member of the group, so you got to sign the covenant of being a member of the group. But you don't necessarily have to do anything else. But now, if you want to be a coordinator of a group, the first thing you have to do, the first requirement we would put on you to move from the stage you're at as a host to be a coordinator of the group, we would put salvation. Okay, so in order to go from this rung to that rung, you have to be a Christian. Because we're not going to let you coordinate a group if you're not a Christian. So whenever somebody says, I've got a guy over here, or I've got a lady over here who's going to be a coordinator, we're going to talk with them about their salvation. Say, okay, Jose, you want to be a coordinator. Tell me about how you came to Christ. And you say, well, you know, during the last group, we were doing the purpose-driven life. And on that one night, you know, they led us in the sinner's prayer. And then on Sunday, you know, you preached on it. I checked it on the connection card. And you may recall I was baptized last summer. I said, okay, you're good to go. And so now they want to be a coordinator. So now Jose moves from being a host who was lost to being saved to now being a coordinator of a group. Now, again, the only requirement to be a coordinator of a group is that they be a Christian and they sign the group covenant. So it's the same qualifications to be a member, same qualifications to be a host, but now we add salvation to the list. Do you kind of see where I'm going with this? Okay, well, now Jose's been leading this group for a while. He's been a coordinator for a while. And his leader, Terry, says, I think Jose's ready to lead. And so we had a conversation with Jose. And what we would say to Jose is, Jose, if you want to be a group leader, the next step for you is membership. And so Jose says, I'm willing to go through membership. Now, actually, in our system, Jose doesn't have to be a member before he leads for the first time, but he has to go through membership class during his first semester. So he's not going to be able to lead twice unless he's been a member. And so now we've put membership as the next rung of this ladder. You know, so membership here. So now he's saved, he's signed the group covenant, and he's also a member. Well, let's say Jose leads for about a year, year and a half. He does a really great job, and we realize he has some administrative gifts, and he begins to take interest in being a team leader. A team leader is somebody who oversees five group leaders. It's the highest volunteer position in our church. It's really critical to running our group system. So now we have a conversation with Jose. We say, okay, Jose, before you get to this top rung up here, you've got to make a commitment to tithe. Believe it or not, one of the ways that we cultivate big givers is by moving them up the leadership ladder. And so we say, okay, Jose, you can't be a team leader unless you tithe. Now, we don't know how much Jose makes, but we pull his giving. We sit down with him and we say, is this a tithe? And he tells us, you know, hopefully honestly, that it is a tithe. And then there's a new covenant to be a team leader, just like there's a new covenant to be a group leader, just like there was a covenant to be a member. And we move Jose up that leadership ladder. And every time he moves up, he becomes more connected to the church. He becomes more influential in our church. And if we do this right, he becomes more like Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Now, I tell you what, before I do the other one, let's go over a page here for just a moment. You try to hold this page on top of the next page for a second. Here's what I want you to do. Take every ministry position in your church and define the ladder. So what's the ladder? Let me tell you where most people mess up when it comes to high-level leadership positions. They've got elders on the top rung of their ladder who have not fulfilled the qualifications to be at the top rung of their ladder. You've got elders who are not tithers. You've got elders who are not inviting people to come to church, because that could be another level. If Jose wanted to move on up to the next level, which maybe is eldership, now he's got to be saved, he's got to be a member, he's got to be a tither, and he's got to have a proven record of evangelism. You see where this really comes into play? Now, so you take every member, every ministry position in your church, and you define the ladder, and then you determine how far up is what that, you know, how far up the ladder is what that should be, not have, sorry. How far up the ladder can a volunteer climb without being a follower of Jesus, a member, a tither, or you can fill in the blank. So you can add a D, E, F, or G. You can add whatever levels you want, as long as it's clearly identified. Now, you need some positions that are below salvation. You need some rungs below salvation, and then you need some rungs that are above that. But you could add in other qualifications. They have completed a CPR class. Okay, we got a children's ministry worker, you know, who's going to be a service leader for one of our services. Well, they have to, you know, be a Christian. They have to have gone through membership class. They have to have completed a background check. They have to have completed the CPR basic training. I know that's probably not what it's called, but you know what I'm talking about, right? So that would be the qualification to be at that level. And so you can take every area of your church and do that. Now, before I give you another example, let me talk about ministry ladder lessons learned the hard way. And for this, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and unbutton my shirt and show you the scars. And for this, both myself and Carrick's in the back, we have names beside every one of these bullets. And these people will forever live in infamy into how not to do this. Here's one lesson we learned the hard way, and this is not a bad lesson. It's just something we had to learn. Have some positions that non-Christians can fill. You know, that's the believe, belong, become thing. There should be some positions a non-Christian could fill. So if we go to our ladder here again, we go back to my illustration earlier of the parking lot. You could have a parking lot ladder. You know, the first parking lot ladder is, you know, they're just a regular old volunteer. Then you could have someone who's they have a regular position. They're a team leader. They're a service leader. And then they're the head guy. You know, they're over all the parking lot ministry. And you could build that out. So if they're a volunteer, they don't have to be saved. They can just come volunteer. They can even be a part of they can take a regular position. They volunteer, you know, every other week, or they volunteer first Sunday of every month in the parking lot. But then if they're going to become a team leader, and that is they're going to oversee three or four guys in the parking lot, we need to make sure they're saved. And then if they're going to become a service leader, which is they oversee, you know, the parking lot greeters during one of the services, they've got to be a member. And then if they're going to be the head, they've got to be a tither. So we could adjust the ladder as we want to do that. It doesn't matter where you put the stuff on the ladder as long as you're clear about it. So some positions that non-Christians can fill. Secondly, have a clearly defined ladder for each position before you start. Sit down and think through what the ladder should look like before you start putting people on the ladder. Now you say, well, that sounds really good. Wish I'd known that about 4 years ago, you know? But if you can't, do the ladder exercise with your current people and let them tell you. And so if you've got a ministry area that's sort of undefined, i.e. out of control, you could pull them together and say, okay, guys, let me tell you about this ladder thing I learned about. And I think it's really important that we're clear, and that we're really important that we have unified vision here around this thing. So you tell me, where on this ladder should we put salvation? And they might say, well, you know, you can't even get on this ladder unless you're salvation. I mean, if you're talking about deacons, they shouldn't even be able to get on this ladder unless they have salvation. You know? Yeah, I'm not going to make any jokes, okay? Then, you know, they say, well, you got to be a member. You know, you got to have attended for 2 years. That could be another one. You know, you add in. You got to have a, you know, background check if it's in children's ministry. You got to be a regular giver. Not necessarily a tither, but maybe just a regular giver. That's one of the things, by the way, we add to group leaders. Group leaders don't have to be tithers. They just have to be regular givers. So, you know, we don't have the tithing conversation. We just pull their giving. By the way, we pull the giving on everything. If you want to do anything at our church, we pretty much pull your giving, because giving pretty much tells you where their heart is. So if their heart's not there through their treasurer, how's their heart going to be there through the ladder? But you see what I'm saying with that? So define that ladder before you start, and if it's too late, just go back and redefine it. And then create a position description that defines each rung of the ladder and have people sign it. Have them sign it. Now, in the parlance of small groups, we call this a covenant. And if you've been through the small group seminar, you know we have a covenant to be a part of the group. It's called the group members covenant, which is to pray for one another, to participate in the group, to keep the confidence of the group, to do the studies that the group's going through. And then we have a group leader covenant. In the group leader covenant, it's a little deeper. It's to pray for your group every day, to be prepared for the lessons every week, to facilitate group discussion, to meet with your team leader once a month. It's about four or five things in each one. And then we have a team leader. And then the team leader is to meet with the group leaders once a month. They're to check in. They're to pray for. You know, there's about four things for each one. And so at every rung of the ladder, there is a covenant or a statement of understanding or a position description. So with children's ministry, it would be position descriptions. You know, what do we expect of a children's volunteer? And there's usually some kind of rules and regulations, like, you know, you're never alone with the kid, you know, in the room by yourself, or, you know, you come prepared, you wash your hands, whatever, you know, it would be. And then if you're a service leader, say in children's ministry or whatever parlance you would use that, there's a higher commitment to make sure there's 8 volunteers every week, to make sure setup is done by this time, to make sure parents get checked in, to make sure the registration forms are completed. And every level, you would have a very clear position. Now, this gets over into something very, very important, which is clarity is the key. You know, agreements prevent disagreements. And so if you present the agreement, you lay it out, this is what is expected of you, and you go over it in detail, and then they sign it, and you put that in a file and hold them accountable to it, it's going to solve a lot of problems.